Last Sunday, we studied about the three relationships with the Holy Spirit. They are Holy Spirit is with us, Holy Spirit is in us, and Holy Spirit is upon us. In preposition of the Greek word, it's with us is para. And what is the second one? En, E-N, which is the same thing as I-N in our English. And then Holy Spirit is upon us, and the preposition for the Greek word is epi, E-P-I. We also learned that there's a lot of misconception regarding the works and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we are going to clarify one of the most controversial and most misunderstood gift of the Holy Spirit among all others. That one is a speaking in tongue. And it's been ignored by the many groups of people, as well as it's been abused by the other side of people. It's my hope and pray that you guys clearly understand from the Word of God, through His voice, that we may not abuse or ignore this precious gift from God. Regardless of the man's opinion, regardless of denomination's guideline, we'll start at verse 3 and let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we do not want to know your gift according to man's opinion or denomination rules and guidelines. We only want to know what you want us to know, without a confusion, without disorder, because you are not the God of either one. Father, speak to our heart. Open our heart so that we may understand clearly. And please forgive our sins, especially the one who speaks. And pray for the President Obama that he may turn his heart over to you. That he may stop doing ungodly things and follow you, your Son, with all of his heart and mind and soul. Father, we pray for our troops who are in harm, especially one in the harm's way, like a MAT team, too, and the law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the one who attends our services. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 3. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to be to them divided tongues. I want you to underline, note that word, please. As of fire, one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. To keep this scripture, what we've been studying, in context, even though we finished up to the verse 4, we are going back to verse 3. As the Holy Spirit came upon these 120 believers who was standing or sitting in the outer court of the temple, and these believers were able to speak in the language they do not know. The Greek word for the tongue is glossa. And its definition is the tongue is not the little muscle inside of your mouth. It's rather, it's a language. And I want you to note that word, the language. And we're going to talk more about it. You may wonder, what kinds of language are we talking about? Let's read on to the verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, what would be this sound? The sound of the rushing mighty wind, as well as all this sound of the language, the multitude came together, was confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled and saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galilean? Okay, note that you might want to make a note there, Galilean. When they said, aren't there these all Galileans? What they're saying, aren't they all hex, the rednecks, those who are ignorant people? Because they kind of people who were living in Jerusalem kind of tend to look down on the people from Galilee because they had a dialect, they were less educated people. So they were thinking that these people are not educated, but how can they speak a foreign language? That's what they are assuming. And how, verse 8, how is that we hear each in our own language? Now, I want you to note that word language and verse 6, own language. Is that the same Greek word as the gloss that we read in verse 3 and verse 4? No, this one is in Greek word is dialect. Like a dialect in our language. It's a different word. In which we were born. Parthians and the Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and a part of the Libya, adjoining the Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselyte, Cretans and Arab. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. I want you to underline that speaking our own tongues the wonderful works of God. That's a very important thing. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13, another mocking said, they were full of wine. They're always mockers when it comes to the work of God. We find at least 15 different geographical locations and clearly state that citizens of those places heard Peter and his friends, his fellow believers, are speaking in human language, different languages. And they understood. Trust me on this. If you speak more than one language, English, learning other language is challenging. Like English for me, and Swedish, of course, and Spanish. I speak fluent Spanish, in case you don't know. And I can survive with the Spanish. I say baños, agua, enchilada. What else do you need, right? And Korean. And some of you are wondering, how's your Korean? Awful. My English is terrible, and I have awful Korean because I've been here for 32 years. And when you don't use even your mother language, guess what? You forget them. I was watching TV, the CBS report, and there was an in-depth report from North Korea. And there are a couple of people talking in Korean. North Korean people speak same kinds of languages as South Korean people, just in case you haven't noticed. They're talking, I was watching them. What are they saying? I couldn't figure out what they are talking about. It's a, I don't get it. I have to really pay attention to each word, otherwise I don't understand. I can get more out of Spanish than actually Korean. However, get this. After 32 years, since 81, I still memorize the first three numbers of prefix of the telephone number in Korean and last four numbers in English. Why? I have no idea. That's just me. Am I confused? Yeah. Obviously. Learning other language not only requires you have to understand the structure, that is grammar, definition, and the pronunciation of each word, and also you have to understand the nuance of each word. Otherwise, you're really not getting the whole language thing. But in this case, these believers who spoke the foreign language did not know anything about their language and did not know what the content was. Because at this point, nobody was making an interpretation. Some mainline denomination biblical scholars, whom I respect very much, in this case, is Dr. Warren Wiersbe, he said this, unless we are instructed otherwise in Scripture, we must assume that when speaking in tongue is mentioned elsewhere in Acts and in 1 Corinthians, it refers to the identical experience. Believers praising God in the Spirit in the language that are known. In other words, what the Dr. Warren Wiersbe and the other main denomination people saying is, speaking in tongues is strictly limited to the speaking foreign languages, the human foreign languages. I beg the difference, and I dare to tell him you are wrong. Because you may say, wow, that's blatant. You're going against Dr. William Wilsby. Yes. Go to Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to prove it to you from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. What did I say? Oh, same difference. By now, you should know what I'm talking about. Was I speaking Swedish again? Though I speak with the tongues. That tongues in Greek word is glossa. Okay? Not dialect. Glossa of man and of what? Of what? Angels. But have not loved, I have become a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. According to this verse, speaking in tongue can be human language as well as angelic language that we human have no idea. So speaking in tongue can be both, can be human language and angelic language, or some people call heavenly language. Have you ever wondered what's the content of the speaking in tongue if you do that? I used to think that, and I still do, and what I have a gift of speaking in tongue, but I don't know what the content is. I don't know exactly what it means. But I do know there's two things. Number one, praising the Lord. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 11, second half. Acts chapter 2, verse 11, second half. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. In this verse, the Bible tells us the content of tongue is speaking the wonderful works of God. In other words, it's praising the Lord. That's the content. Even though the speaker does not know the language. Second content would be praying to the Lord on our behalf. Romans 8:26. So, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for. Pray for it as we ought. But Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with a groaning which cannot be uttered. Paul tells us here in the book of Romans that Holy Spirit help us when we don't know what we should pray for. But because Holy Spirit Himself will make an intercession for us with a groaning which cannot be uttered. Some people say it's utterance, just moaning. Some people say it can be speaking in tongues. In the middle of the night, sometimes the Lord wake me up. I have no idea why He woke me up. And I lay on my back and start speaking in tongues. I pray in spirit because I do not know what I should pray for or whom I should pray for. So I just let the Holy Spirit take over and pray in the will of God. He is searching the heart, and He knows what's the mind of the Spirit because He makes an intercession for us according to the will of God. You cannot ask for a better thing than that. Some of you might be thinking, well, okay, preacher, I really don't care about this gift things, spirit gift things, and I don't care about spiritual gift. I don't want to know about it. For those who are thinking that kind of thing, God has something for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Because He knew that you would think that kind of thing just now, so He wrote it down 2,000 years ago. Now, concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Get that? God is watching you. God knows what you're thinking. And you're thinking, doh! Yeah, exactly. Probably the mindset like that enables some church leaders, some spiritual leaders, come up with their own doctrine, denomination, rules, and regulations regarding spiritual gift. And the people who do not care to learn from the Word of God, they follow them mindlessly and blindly. Please don't do that. Search the Word of God. Do you think we ask you to bring your Bible just for fun of it? Because you come to church, And you bring the Bible? No. I want you to look at it. I want you to follow through and see if I'm lying to you. Don't believe everything coming from the pulpit. Believe everything coming from the Christian TV station. Human can lie. But God's word never lies. That's why we remind ourselves the word of God, the absolute truth. Go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. Verse 2. So whom are we speaking to? Verse 2. He who speaks in tongues does not speak to man, but to whom? To God. For no one understands him, however in the spirit he speaks the mystery. Apostle Paul tells us that he who speaks in unknown language is not unto man, but unto God only. Is that clear enough for you? Speaking in tongues is addressing to God. There is not one single reference in the Bible where the gift of the tongue is used to address the man either by preaching or teaching. Not one single reference. Rather, we find that they are always addressed to God. It means that true interpretation of the tongue would be also addressed to God. I want you to pay attention to that thing. We're going to go come back. This is a very important point for you should keep in mind. Now, some biblical scholars in the main denomination tried to put down the speaking in tongues as gibberish. Have you ever heard that? Somebody saying, oh, it's a gibberish. You don't pay attention to that. I heard one of the pastors, well-known pastor, John MacArthur, he said this in a radio program. I heard it with my own ear. He said that speaking in tongues is a satanic. I thought, whoa, are you telling me that speaking in tongues that is given by God is satanic? In my opinion, that is a blasphemy. It's a very dangerous statement because they're calling what God belongs to God and as the devils. After all, communication with God is not man, is the purpose of the gift of tongue. Interestingly, what happened the day of Pentecost was the reversal of judgment at the Tower of Babel when God confused the man's language in Genesis chapter 11. And Tower of Babel was not built as a place for the refuge for the next great flood. But it was the tower revealed the arrogant and defiant and rebellious attitude of man against God. The Tower of Babel is an idolatrous symbol, icon of man. It's a place where the people worship the creature rather than creator. Get this, guys. God's judgment at Babel scattered people. But the day of Pentecost, God brings those people, unite them together. At Babel, people were unable to understand each other. At the Pentecost, man heard the praise for God and understood what was said. Remember chapter 11 of Genesis? They were speaking in one language. And they said, we will build this tower that reach to heaven. Pure arrogance. And they said, well, hand me another brick. And the guy, even though he came from the different place, he said, oh, here we go, brother. And then God said, okay, this has gone long enough. We'll just give them just different languages. He simply put them in their heart with the different languages. So one guy said, blah, 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 blah. And the other guy said, what did you say? Don't get it. All of a sudden, they could not communicate with one another. Now, you might say, you're going off the road. Maybe. Until now, the people around the world could not communicate. And ever since the internet was developed, around late 1990s, of course, Al Gore did that, right? Through internet, now all of a sudden everybody can understand each other. Through internet, people are building another Babel, another Tower of Babel. It's heading closer to one step closer to the end time. If you don't think that we are not in end time, you are living in the la-la land. Now, back to Tower of Babel. It was a scheme designed to praise man and make a name for man. But at the day of Pentecost, it brought the praise to God. The building of Tower of Babel is an act of rebellion, but the Pentecost was a ministry of the humble submission to God. What a contrast. Let's talk about a few biblical guidelines for speaking in tongues. The ability to pray in an unknown tongue is not primary or singularly true evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some charismatic denomination people say, if you are truly born again, you should speak in tongues. Or if you don't speak in tongues, you are not saved. That's audacity. Wrong emphasis on this particular gift leads many people to seek the gift of tongues, even counterfeit, merely to prove themselves and others that they are really filled with the Holy Spirit to puff up their spiritual arrogance. Here are several biblical guidelines we must heed from the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When you read this 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you will find a lot of do's and don'ts for the spiritual gift, especially in the gift of speaking in tongues. Let's go to the first chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18. We're going to talk about the in private setting, the speaking in tongues in private setting. I thank God I speak with the tongues more than you all. Paul is from South. Yet in the church, I would rather speak the five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than the 10,000 words in a tongue. Even though Paul spoke with the tongues, he refused to exercise the gift of tongue in the church. That means we can assume that he spoke in tongue in his own devotional, private devotion. Let's talk about the public setting. Go down to the verse 27, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If anyone speaks in tongue, let there be two or at the most three. And get this, not all at once, each in turn. And let one interpret. Verse 28, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So let me get this. It must be done, speaking in tongues must be done with the interpretation that follows. Without interpretation, speaking in tongues does not edify others in public setting, contrary to some charismatic denominations concept. I've seen pastor walking right up to the Pope, and the first thing he does is, not like open your Bible, he starts speaking in tongues. And the congregation started speaking in tongues, all in unison. And then I was hoping that there would be interpretation. None. None of them expect interpretation. They just started that way, and that was fine with them. One very important thing about the interpretation of tongue, as we learned, the speaking in tongue is a prayer and or prayer, praise and prayer to the Lord. So interpretation of the tongue should be praise and or prayer to the Lord. I've heard somebody said in King Jimmy language, thus saith the Lord, as an interpretation. Problem with that is praise and prayer to the Lord, going in this direction. And thus saith the Lord is a message and the prophecy coming from the Lord to the people. In other words, it's not the same content. Am I making sense? So it's not an interpretation. Now, another thing we have to note is that the numbers are limited. Some of the charismatic church leaders encourage the whole congregation to speak in tongues. That's wrong. In the middle of the service. According to what we just read from the Bible, is a two or three, at the most, with the interpretation to follow. There is no room to budge, a loophole to go through. Anything, if you said, well, that's not how we do it in our denomination, that's not how we do it in our church, guess what? You are against the Word of God. If a Bible says two or three at the most in turn with the interpretation, that means what it says. Well, it doesn't say with the parentheses, if you're Assembly of God, if you're Pentecost, if you're a Four Square, if you're whatever, Benny Hinn's church, you're exception. No, it does not say that. This speaking to the every believers. Another limitation is, guideline is, if there is no interpretation, the speaker of tongue must be silent because he or she did out of God's order. In some church services, sermon is interrupted by the utterance of the tongue. But there is no scriptural basis for all of these kinds of interruption. Let me put it in this way, in our situation. Let's say in the middle of the worship, Pastor Al is leading worship. It was a glorious time of praising God, and all of a sudden somebody started speaking in tongues. Of course, Pastor Al knows better. He will stop. He will stop the worship song. We will listen, and we will wait for the interpretation. If there's an interpretation, not with the thus saith the Lord, but if it's whatever praise and prayer to the Lord, we will receive it with the joy and gladness. But if there is more like a no wrong interpretation, or there's no interpretation, guess what he will say, what I will say, it is that tongue was spoken out of order, so we will ignore it. You may say, well, that's callous, that's cold, that's going to leave a mark on somebody's heart. No, we are doing it according to the Bible. Am I making sense? We are not going to do the things just to accommodate somebody's silliness. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, please. Let all things done decently. And what does it say? In order. Exactly. About 20 years ago, when I was a baby Christian, and one elderly brother in the Lord, he's from Assembly of God all his life. And he said, Calvary Chapel quenching the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard that kind of word? Quenching the Holy Spirit? Of course, they are coming from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. When you read it in context, it's not that kind of thing. But it says, he went on, because you guys do not allow people to speak in tongues in the middle of the service. All right? Let me put it this way. At the time, I did not know how to come back to him and show it from the Word of God what he said is wrong. Let me ask you this. Are we quenching the Holy Spirit by not allowing the tongue to be spoken during our service without guidance and the limitation? Absolutely not. I am teaching you guys how to speak in tongue according to Bible. The Bible, which author is the Holy Spirit himself. So if I'm teaching according to Holy Spirit, how am I going to quenching the Holy Spirit? Am I making sense? Am I making sense? Yeah. Don't think that I am quenching the Holy Spirit. We are trying to do everything according to the Bible. So is the speaking in tongue no longer available? Some people say, well, that those who are from the Baptist or the Presbyterian, Methodist, or this mainline denomination says, well, the speaking in tongue has been seized. And they said, well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And I'm glad that they say that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's see if the speaking in tongue really ceased. Chapter 13, verse 8. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. They will say, see, it will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we do know in part, we prophesy in part, but when, underline, that which is perfect, that forward has come, and then that which is in part will be done away. So what is this, that which is in perfect? Though some who believe the miracles spiritual gift sees with the apostle, they said that this refers to the completion of New Testament. And some people say this, it stopped with the canonization of the Bible, same meaning. But according to the majority of our biblical scholars, the Greek scholars, they say it's pointing to the one thing, the perfect one. The perfect one is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you read it in context. And some people will say, well, that's not so. Well, if that is so, if the Bible is complete and is perfect, are we living in a perfect world? We have Obama in the White House. It ain't perfect. The Greek word for perfect is a telos. Telos. Concerning the way the New Testament uses telos in other passages, 1 Corinthians 1:8, 15, 25, James 5, 11, Revelation 25 and 7, and 21, 6, 22, 13, it certainly seems to be speaking about the coming of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at them when you go home. So that those who believe in the speaking in tongues has been seized with the completion of the Bible, and these, like a John MacArthur, he will come up with a scholaric analysis. He said, well, it's in the passive sentence, it's not in a passive sentence, it's the middle voice, and when he translated, speaking in tongues kind of disappeared in the middle. Well, it's like a doctor is telling you with all this Latin language, and you're thinking, you have no idea what they're talking about. And when you listen to what John MacArthur says, it's like, I don't get it. But the majority of Greek scholars said, what John MacArthur said is wrong. There's no content to it. Well, in other words, Dr. Warren Wiersbe and John MacArthur, both coming from the Baptist background, and they said that they put their doctrine, denomination doctrine, before the Word of God, and they're just trying to maneuver around. I have two applications. I know some of you are thinking, how dare you say that? Well, I myself don't have anything for them. My credential is nothing to compare with them. But I have a perfect truth. I will put this over anybody. Speaking in tongues is a gift from the Holy Spirit. There is nothing for us to boast of about having it or exercising it. Rather, boast about gift giver. Amen? Number two. Do not follow men's or the denomination doctrines over God's word. God's word triumphs over anything and everything and anyone.